station.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You may know less about me than anyone.
That would be terrific. That would be great, huh?
Terrific. That was terrific.
Jeff Lutz.
That's what you're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about.
I mean, the only class in this act, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer. 869-1240, the phone number. I just saw it was National Radio Day, so congratulations to us.
For what?
Nearing our ninth year on the air as a tandem. I believe 10 years is the absolute maximum we can hope
for. We're in our ninth year.
We can only hope for it.
Yeah, we're about to begin our 10th year.
Be our 9-year anniversary.
Correct.
Coming up on December 1.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I don't care about what year we're in.
Well, you said we're in year 9.
We're celebrating our 9-year anniversary.
But you said we're in year 9.
Right.
You said we're in year 8 or something.
No, I didn't say anything like that.
You said we're going to year 9 or something.
No.
We're in year 9.
Didn't say anything like that.
Yeah, you did. Max, rewind the tape.
Didn't mention what
year we're in. Rewind the tape.
I said we're nearing our anniversary.
You said we're nearing year 9.
We're nearing our 9th anniversary.
Yeah.
Right. And
but
that's exactly accurate.
But we're in year 9 now.
Jeff, stop.
I'm just telling you.
Just stop. Just force yourself to take a breath and say, this isn't going anywhere. I'm wrong.
But it's okay to say, you know, that is what I said, and we are in year 9. Also, you could also say I was wrong.
But I wasn't. I said we're coming up on our 9-year anniversary.
That's not what you said initially.
10 years, I'll be lucky to make it to 10 years with you.
Max will rewind the tape for us.
There's no rewinding anything.
Yeah, of course.
You're in a very difficult position with your guardians.
Never heard
of
them.
This is going to be like this now for the rest of the baseball season.
Or it may not. Or I might just give up on them.
Because last night, the Royals win again. And the Twins lose in San Diego against the team I think is going to win it all, the Padres. If I had to pick one team to win it, that's my team. I think I said that a while back, too. I love what they've done with their ball club. And Mike Schilt's a good manager. We had him.
I can't imagine.
He won.
Loving.
We let him go.
Anything anybody else did with their ball club.
Well, they brought in a bunch of guys who can shut down in relief. And to me, the final 2 months in the postseason, that's exactly what you need to do. You need guys who can get guys out late in games. And most teams struggle with that.
So do you love what the Guardians have done with their team?
They're struggling with every aspect of their game right now.
No, the bullpen.
Not at the tail end, but they don't have... Listen, the Padres have pretty good starting pitching and a great bullpen.
Good for the Padres.
Well, I like what they've done.
Okay. I don't like what they've done.
Well, they beat Minnesota. That helped you last night.
I like that part.
Kansas City, though, is the team to watch.
I'm watching.
Don't you just feel it?
I'm watching them play the Reds and the Angels.
Don't you just feel it, though?
No, I don't. Let's see how they get through their tough stretch.
Yeah, they won't win as much, but they are a tough stretch.
Mm.
When you play the Royals, you're playing a tough stretch.
I guess.
That's how good they've become.
I want to see what their record against winning teams is. Compared to that of the Twins and the Guardians. Then we'll have, and maybe it's great. Maybe they're 31-8.
I doubt that it's great, but nobody has a great record against winning teams.
They're 27-35. Cleveland's 34-31. Minnesota's 29-38. So there you go.
Well, you better start beating some more teams.
Well,
or
we play the Yankees.
You're going to run out of breathing room here shortly.
Well, we play the Yankees.
And I don't see that going well. And I doubt that you do.
The Yankees don't play that well at home for whatever reason.
Well, that's false hope. and I wish you the best with it.
They're only 32-27 at home.
What's the pitching matchup tonight?
Boyd against one of their right-handers, not Garrett Cole. Oh, it's Luis Gil.
Well, that's probably, I'd probably favor the Yankees slightly.
Really? Luis Gil's been terrible lately.
I'd probably, where is that ball game?
Yankee Stadium.
You're in trouble.
We're not in trouble. They have Aaron Judge, the best hitter on the planet, and a couple other guys.
Well, you got your Jazz Chisholm out. That's helpful. Tomorrow, it's no pitching matchup listed.
They have Cortez going.
And then Thursday, afternoon ball game, Gavin Williams and Garrett Cole. I wish you luck. I hope something happens to improve your outlook.
Well, I hope that happens today, and that would be a call-up of somebody.
I keep telling you, as a seasoned pro in this stuff, that if you're depending on people getting called up to help you,
yeah,
you don't have a very good team in the first place.
Well, all I want is better than Tyler Freeman. Is that too much to ask? We got George Valera down there crushing right-handed pitching. We can't hit right-handed pitching.
There's such a stark difference in AAA and the big leagues. I don't know that it used to be that way, but it certainly seems that way now.
Well, then let's just see what happens.
It's so rare that a guy comes up and really does a whole lot.
Let's just take this offense that's been in the bottom three of everything for a month since the All-Star break and see if we can improve it. Let's just see. Let's just find out.
Well,
not too much to ask.
I don't know if you'll get your wish. I got my own problems. We start a series tonight with the Brewers, and the Brewers have overtaken St. Louis as the cream of the crop in the National League Central, and not just this year, in recent years. In fact, in the last 8 years, Milwaukee has spent far less and had far more success than the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, they've made.
How does that happen?
They've made better moves.
How does that happen?
I just told you. They got
That's
in.
Why they should get rid of these
they
people.
Get in, they got in on that Matt Olson trade or whichever trade it was and came away with William Contreras. They acquired Willie Adames in a trade. They
signed Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
Or got him in a trade.
That was, yeah. It was,
Gavin Williams has become one of the best closers.
Devin Williams.
Healthy. Devin, yeah, not Gavin.
I wish Gavin would be the best at something.
They let Corbin Burns, they traded Corbin Burns, and haven't missed him. I don't understand how that happens. One of the best five pitchers in the game, and you just, okay, we're good.
You just try to fill out a rotation. It's been a struggle for them at times this year, but they play in a division where that hasn't really hurt them, and they have enough to win. They have enough pitching somehow to still win.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how well run the Brewers are and how poorly run the Cardinals are. Milwaukee's 20 games above 500 with a run differential of 106. That's better than the Phillies. That's better than the Dodgers. Think about that.
I get it.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, they're a good team. They've been in the playoffs a bunch.
But they shouldn't be this good.
Why not?
Because they just shouldn't be.
Well, they are.
Christian Yelich is out for the season.
He was just okay.
Now, he had a really good first half, and then once he was hitting 315, that's pretty good. I think you'd admit that.
Churio's going off. Turang is.
Wait a minute. Would you take back what you just said about.
But he wasn't hitting with any power, was he?
No, because he was hurt.
11 homer. He was good. He was good. Sorry.
He had a 909 OPS. I think you'd take that.
Yeah, he was good. Good for Christian. Sorry he's injured.
And he's out. Hoskins is hitting only 223, but with 20 homers. Jackson Churio, who looks like he could become one of those superstars, has really picked it up of late. He's been really good since the All-Star break. And they'll come into St. Louis tonight and, you know, they'll cause some damage.
Well, they just don't have anybody in their lineup that is an out. It's not the greatest lineup in the world, but they have guys who are consistent, who can hit, and they're not guys who are going to fall into deep funks.
They're okay in that. I mean, now you got me flustered.
And they have Tobias Myers, who...
Who's great. Did he used to be a Guardian?
Yeah, we traded the number one overall prospect for him, Junior Caminero.
And then what'd you do? Who'd you trade Myers for?
No, we could let him go. We didn't trade him for anybody.
Well, you're not a very well-run organization.
We're a terribly run organization. I'm getting tired of Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. They have their purpose. Now go away.
Well, that's terrible.
It's unfortunate.
In the National League, the Brewers rank number four in average at 253. And in OPS, they rank number six. So they're okay.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to go into any real
pitching
deep slumps.
Pitching-wise, they have the best earned run average in the National League with guys you'd never heard of. You don't know them. This is what I mean. I'm jealous of this kind of stuff. This is what the Cardinals used to be, and it drives me nuts.
I feel you.
They've had all kinds of pitching injuries. And here they are. Lead. They don't have Woodruff. He's hurt. Out for the year. No Burns. Freddie Peralta hasn't been as good. Wade Miley got hurt. He's out. And here they lead the National League in earned run average.
Because they decided to do something about it. They went out and
They have great depth in their system.
And they went out and got guys. They got an Aaron Civale who they could buy low on. And this had a track record of some success.
Some.
Didn't they trade for another pitcher?
Something. They got some guys. I'm not going to dwell on it, even though I've spent the first 10 minutes of the show dwelling on it.
Montas, who has also been pretty good.
Pretty good.
And could buy low on a guy who, again, has had a track record of some success.
They're just, they've got stardust. They let Craig Counsell go. They didn't let him go. He left. Everybody's thinking, well, that's the end of the Brewers. They're, president and development guides David Stearns went to the Mets. That's the end of the Brewers. They just plugged somebody else in.
Not a good baseball.
Murphy's been around forever.
A lot of good baseball minds out there. A lot of good baseball
Why
players.
Don't you have
out
a
there.
Few of them.
I wish we did. We have a good let's save money mind. That's what we have. We have that kind of
but
mind.
We spend a lot of money with very little result.
Because you're spending it on the wrong things.
Of course we do.
You don't really need to spend a whole lot of money. The Cardinals have been successful when they've had homegrown players.
Well, and, let's grow some.
And players that have come
they
up
now
through
have
system.
The 21st ranked farm system. So you look at it, and there's nothing you can point at with my team that would indicate that there's any kind of a bright future. So what do they need to do? They need to clean house. And have a new person come in and run the St. Louis Cardinals. And if that's Heim Bloom, I'm all for it.
There's nothing worse than being a boring on-field team.
And that's what they are.
That's what the Guardians have been.
They don't steal bases. They don't do anything. They're just out there every night. And I'm tired of watching Goldie and Arenado. You understand that?
I get it.
I mean, they've had great careers. But they haven't won anything in St. Louis, and they really haven't won anything at anywhere else.
They haven't. That's accurate.
So what? How do you assess that?
Well, you give them their props for having great individual careers. Arenado's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. Goldschmidt has a pretty good shot.
You know what the Cardinals did when Albert Pujols was there? They won.
Right. You build around a homegrown guy.
They won.
Who you'll have in your
And they brought in Edmonds. They brought in Roland. They brought in Renteria. They had Tony La Russa in the dugout. Yadier Molina was a young catcher. And you know what they did? They won a lot.
Well, that's what they're missing. leadership on the field, leadership in the dugout, leadership in the front office.
Just year after year of winning. Anyway.
It's an enjoyable time.
Here's what we have on the show for you today. Big 12 football previews continue. We are now, boy, just over a week away from the start of college football. Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune will join us to talk about the Iowa State Cyclones. That's coming up at 2:25. At 3 o'clock, the head coach of Shocker Baseball, Brian Green, will give us a little taste of how things look now after the transfer portal as Wichita State begins fall baseball drills very shortly. We'll check in with the Shocker coach, and then Jeff has a game for hour number two.
Yeah, sort of. I kind of forgot it was Tuesday, but I have some kind of outline.
Don't give the listeners any ammunition.
An outline of a game.
For how poorly you're doing your job.
I'm doing my job great.
The key to doing
it. If they want to shoot at me with their ammunition, they're more than welcome.
Doing a good job is to fool the people.
I will.
I've done it for 50 years. You think
right?
I've really done a good job? No. But what I've done is convince the people.
You have?
I've done a good job.
I think a lot of people.
You go to any person out there.
I think a lot of people didn't think you did a good job.
Who? Give me a name.
That Don guy yesterday.
What?
Remember?
He called the show?
No, he said he texted you or something. He said he likes me more.
Well, who'd he text?
Well, he doesn't have my number, and that's for good reason.
Yeah, we got a draft. I got to figure out. We're going to do it Thursday evening at 6:30 at Side Pockets. We haven't heard back from Tom, who was the first guy to call us to get in.
Uh-oh.
Tom, if you're listening, give Max a call. We need to know you're on board. Shannon will be there. I hope I texted Dino. He'll be there. Virgil. Duda, of course, is running right on time. He may or may not be there on time.
Why is he so important? When did that happen?
I knew that'd get you.
Why can't we just say, yeah, I'll be there? No, I won't. That's all we need to do.
First he said he won't, and then I kind of want him there because it's good fodder to talk about. I don't want him left out. So the backup plan is that you'll bring your friend Scotty.
Scotty's on my team.
He'll draft for Duda if needed. If needed.
Well, we're going to tank his team. So
if needed. And then Don and I got to get a hold of the 10th person. That's coming up in two nights. I got to get going. I got to get rolling on that.
6:30?
6:30 Thursday evening.
Who
we'll be out of there by
on Thursday evening.
We'll be out of there by 8:30.
I guess.
Well, you said you couldn't do it next week.
I know, but I just
next week the Springfield Cardinals come in.
I just declared Thursday as date night in my household.
So I'm going to head out for a couple of games against Springfield. I haven't decided which ones yet.
Is Tink still there?
Yeah, but they got a guy now catching, Jimmy Crooks, out of the University of Oklahoma, who's ripping the cover off the baseball.
Isn't their center fielder doing well, too?
Yeah, he's an older guy, like a minor league free agent guy. But he's had a good year. But Jimmy Crooks is a legit prospect.
He's a prospect.
He's a guy that
I know the name. I've heard him. Obviously, he's come through here before, I believe.
He's a guy that could be catching in St. Louis as soon as next year, potentially.
That's exciting.
It is kind of exciting.
Whatever happened to Ivan Herrera?
He's in AAA, and they like him too. But the Cardinals, let me just say this one more time before we go to break. There's not an organization in baseball that needs a fresh start more than the St. Louis Cardinals. There's just not.
Well, I hope they get it.
And it's obvious to everyone. Obvious to everyone. If they don't fire this front office crew and start with somebody else, they won't sell
a ticket.
Even
if it's a guy in the front office currently?
They won't sell a ticket next year.
I know you want to believe in Chaim Bloom, but he's there now.
Yeah, but he's not in a power position. He's an advisor. That's why he's there. I think he would be a perfect guy because he knows pitching and he's got a track record of developing young pitchers.
Good luck.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I don't know how many years I've got to enjoy the Cardinals.
20 or 30 at
least.
But
I tell you what, I'm right there every day. Every day.
Can't help myself. That's what good fans do.
I'm an unbelievable fan. No, I am.
Is Duda on this week at all?
No. I'm talking about me.
Well, I just wanted to think about what he... I say the word well too much. I need to stop that. Continue.
And you need to stop saying so before every question you ask on an interview.
No, I think that's good.
We'll be back. We'll talk with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. He's been covering Iowa State athletics for quite some time. And we'll get his thoughts on the Cyclones. Back in a minute.
KFA.
Here's Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. We're going to talk some Iowa State football. Hello, Travis. Welcome. We are happy to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. So Matt Campbell, starting his ninth year, man, it just seems like time flies. He's obviously had very good success at Iowa State, but he hasn't had the ultimate success yet. Do you think that's on the horizon? What does Iowa State need to do to get to that winner's circle?
Yeah, I think for them to be a Big 12 champion, a lot is going to have to go right for them this season. I think they certainly should be discussed as teams in the mix, because when you look at the team that went 7-6 and went to the Liberty Bowl last year, they bring everybody back on what was a really young team with tons of freshmen and sophomores playing for a program that was absolutely thrown into a tizzy over the summer with the gambling probe that cost them five starters, including their starting quarterback and running back, about a month before the season started. So I do think there is a lot of reason for optimism, but when you look at what Iowa State has from a talent perspective relative to, say, Utah or Kansas State, I think they're probably maybe a tier below, a half tier below. And then you look at the schedule, though, it's pretty favorable for Iowa State that they're going to be able to put themselves in a position to get themselves into Arlington. I don't think they're a favorite to do that, but I think that they probably need to be discussed as one of the teams that could potentially get there in December.
Yeah, everybody's schedule is different. It's hard to even, know who's playing who from a week-to-week basis, or even, beginning of the season, having any individual team's schedule memorized. But what do you think wins the Big 12 this year? Is it eight wins? Is it we've talked about so many teams that are right there in that mix. Does that mean it's parity? Does that mean it's mediocrity? Does that mean it's a lot of quality at the top? How do you kind of assess all that?
Yeah, it's really difficult, especially with how new the league is, just in terms of the membership. Not only the four teams from the Pac-12, but the four teams from last year. This is only year two. This is not a league that's well familiarized itself with the new members. So I think it's really hard to have a great idea here in the middle of August. But I do think there is a lot of parity. Now, whether that parity, beyond maybe the top one or two teams, is mediocre or above average, I think that's one of the things we're going to have to see unfold throughout the season. Because I think you look at the Big 12, and Utah obviously is the favorite. Kansas State is right there. But it's not like anyone is looking at either of those two teams or the other teams ranked in the top 25 as juggernauts. And I think you could have a surprise, and you could have where the Big 12 eats its own. And it makes it really hard to get a second team into the CFP, and it makes it where those teams playing in the conference championship game in December might have a couple losses apiece, because I do think it's going to be hard for probably more than one team in the league to really separate itself, just because of the parity, really from, 3 to 10 or 11 or 12, depending on how you want to look at it.
Travis Hines with us from the Ames Tribune. We're previewing Iowa State football. Rocco Becht was unbelievable last year. freshman of the year in the conference, broke all kinds of school records there at Iowa State. Tell us about him, and no sophomore slump, right? This is the real deal.
Yeah, he's had an interesting career at Iowa State. You know, his true freshman year, he was the third string quarterback behind a walk-on until about halfway through the year, and was slated to be the backup again last season until Hunter Deckers was implicated as part of this gambling probe, and he left the team. That was in August, and Deckers went all the way through spring practice as the starter. Rocco Beck didn't get any of those snaps, and so was really thrown into the fire early last year. Actually split snaps in the opener with a true freshman, J.J. Cole, before taking over the job in week two. They lose at Ohio in week three to where it feels like, man, he's got a tenuous hold on that job, and really took off from there, where the Iowa State offense finally found its rhythm. He found, I think, some poise and some confidence that propelled him to being that freshman of the year on the offensive side in the Big 12. And everything you've heard from the coaching staff and his teammates this offseason is that he's been a guy dedicated and poised on improvement, and they're expecting big things from him this year. And I think, you know, given what he did last year and everything you're hearing about what he did over the summer, I think there's a reason for a lot of optimism about what Rocco Beck can do in 2024.
What is Iowa State's place in this, you know, new college athletics landscape? We know they have a good overall athletic program. We know their basketball and football teams have been good to very good over the past 10 years or so. But, you know, it's do they have a lot of NIL money? Do they have a lot of recruiting attractions that way? They didn't dip too heavily into the transfer portal this year. So where exactly does Iowa State fit in the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little tenuous. I mean, obviously, Iowa State does not have among the bigger budgets in the Big 12 and certainly nationally. And I think in the traditional Big 12, they usually rank near the bottom, both in terms of overall budget and its fundraising dollars. And so I think this new world of college athletics is potentially difficult for them, but I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. And the difficulties that exist going forward for Iowa State are really the same difficulties that have always existed for them. And as you mentioned, you know, the last 10, 15, 20 years has seen, you know, pretty high level success judged historically for Iowa State. So whatever the obstacles are going forward are not all that difficult or different than what they've been. And it's just, can they continue to overcome them, or at least overcome them frequently enough to keep the dollars flowing and some wins coming?
Travis Hines, our guest. We're talking Iowa State football. You mentioned the schedule being favorable, and looking at it, there's a road test in week two in Iowa City against Iowa. So that's always a fun test. But when you start, when Iowa State starts conference play, it's Houston, Baylor, West Virginia, Central Florida, Texas Tech. You'd like to think that the Cyclones could really have a glitzy record coming out of those games. And then you've got KU, Utah, and Kansas State in among the final four opponents. So always interesting to look at these schedules now that they're unbalanced.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Iowa State's schedule, and that Iowa game is obviously tricky, and Matt Campbell's only beaten Iowa once in seven tries at Iowa State. But when you look at the Big 12, you know, you mentioned that early stretch there where they could really get through there unscathed, maybe one loss with that game, I think, at West Virginia is going to be tricky. And then you look at the back half where that Kansas game should be tough for them. And I think they get a huge break, they being Iowa State, and that game being at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, because that's going to incentivize a lot of Iowa State fans, in my opinion, just to make the three-hour trek down to Arrowhead that they maybe otherwise wouldn't have if it was at in Lawrence. And I think that should at least tip the scales a little bit more in Iowa State's direction, too. Again, that's why I look at that schedule as being pretty favorable, because there are some quirky things that help Iowa State out, and I think that's a big part of it. And then you look at the back, you know, that last 2 weeks of the schedule, you're at Utah and then Kansas State at home on November 30th. You know, that's really, I would imagine, where Iowa State's regular season, at least, is going to be defined.
And then you talk about having a big crowd go to Arrowhead. I just want to mention that the Iowa State fan base has always been a remarkable one, just an incredibly supportive. You guys take that for granted up in Ames, or are you still kind of like, wow, these people really like Iowa State?
Yeah, I've always said that you never underestimate Iowa State fans' ability to show up for stuff, because they're always there. I mean, you see it in Kansas City every March for the Big 12 tournament. You see it at almost every bowl destination that the Iowa State football team has made in the last 10 or 15 years. And certainly I don't think it gets taken for granted. I think Iowa State fans are incredibly proud of the way that they travel and the way that they support their programs. And I think, you know, that goes back a generation or two, because they've always supported well despite not having a lot of historical success. And now, as the success has come a little bit, I think that's supercharged their desire to continue to show up for stuff. And, you know, I've been covering them for, gosh, 10 or 15 years, and it's really never wavered in Iowa State fans traveling and supporting well.
Last question for you, Travis, before we let you go, talking with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. So this is kind of exciting with the new teams coming in for the second year in a row in the Big 12. It's kind of an infusion of excitement and some unknown. Are we going to be as excited about this in 5 or 10 years? Does the Big 12 have football staying power?
That's a great question. I don't have a great answer because so much of this is unknown. I guess generally I look at it as fans, I would imagine, are going to grow a little weary of these big conferences. And that's to say nothing of, you know, what is the SEC and Big Ten ultimately up to? Are they trying to break away from the NCAA, as I think some people might suspect, and start their own thing? I mean, it's hard for the Big 12 to compete with that. But I think generally speaking, college sports, in my mind, are at their best when they're regional, when it's your cheering against your neighbor, when you're going to the grocery store and see somebody wearing, you know, the sweatshirt of the team your team plays that weekend. And I think obviously you lose that when you're in Ames, Iowa, and you're playing teams in Arizona and Utah, or if you're in Kansas and you're playing teams in West Virginia and Cincinnati. And so I do wonder what the appetite will be for these conferences being supersized and ignoring geography going forward, because I do think the sport loses something when it becomes so nationalized. And, you know, the first domino's probably got to drop for the Big Ten and the SEC of what they're going to want to do, and then everything will fall around it. But that's just generally my sentiment, is that the current form of college sports is probably not the best for fan enjoyment when you're talking more about TV revenues than actual wins.
All right. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you, Travis. We'll be in touch soon.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
They ran a documentary on Laurel Canyon that I watched a few years ago. It was very...
Yeah, so did I.
Very interesting.
It was good.
Not a lot of Eagles in it.
I watched it for the Don Henley parts, but I watched the rest of it too.
Good stuff. I wish I had gotten more involved in music. We're going to push it this year with some of our League 42 kids. I'm trying to get somebody to donate a musical instrument.
Really?
To give away to one of our kids who makes the best case to get it. And I'm thinking I want it to be a guitar.
That'd probably be a good place to start. Or a piano.
That's a little bit much.
It is. If I'm just saying, at the roots of songwriting and music and performance, it's usually starts with a guitar and a piano, and or a piano.
I'm looking forward to it, seeing if somebody will help us out.
Who are you looking at?
You know, the usual suspects. People who have instruments, right?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody has a guitar they want to give away.
Maybe.
Maybe somebody's listening right now going, you know what? I'm going to give League 42 this
now,
clarinet.
Here's a question.
What?
And you could...
Is this good? What are you digging? What are you digging at?
Well, I just want to know how the inner workings, and if this is like I'm way off base, and you can tell me, or if it's like, hey, why not? Could you? I mean, you got a lot of money from everything that has happened. Could you just use that to go buy a guitar or two or three?
No.
Okay. I guess that's,
we could.
I guess that's out of the question.
Well, you know, we want sponsorships.
Right? I understand.
It's good for everybody.
Usually, yeah.
So that's what you look for first and foremost. You just gave me another reason why you won't be taking over League 42.
Well, I think we all knew that.
You're too worried about things like that.
Not worried. I just asked a question.
You're not just saying, can you give me something? You're saying, if you donate this to League 42, we'll make a big deal about you.
Understood. I got it.
You understand the give and take.
I understand the trade-off.
We just got a guitar. We're not going to mention who gave it.
Well, I know you'd mention who gave it.
People who help us out get great notoriety from it.
As they should. Is notoriety good?
Sure.
I feel like it's bad.
Notoriety?
You don't want to be notorious.
Notoriety is good.
I feel like it's not.
Well, I feel like it is. Don't forget IHOP.
Literally.
Which sponsors our hotline. You can get all-you-can-eat pancakes from now through September 15th at IHOP. I understand that the IHOP out on Maple and Ridge,
right,
they're expanding that.
Really?
I read that in Denise Neal's column.
It's about time. When are we having Denise back on the program?
Soon. No, don't worry about it. I'll get that taken care of.
Don't worry about it. Just ask.
I'll handle it.
You always think I'm worried about things. I'm not.
I know how you are. You worry.
I'm not a much of a worrier.
You worry a ton.
About what?
Jeff, I've known you your whole life.
But what do I worry about?
You worry about everything.
Like what?
Your cats, your
I don't worry about
family,
them.
Your job, your...
Not really.
How you stand in the world, whether you're succeeding on this show.
No.
How people perceive you.
Not at all.
Everything.
None of that going on.
Of course there is.
I don't worry.
Now, you may try to hide it.
How do you hide worry?
Well, you just try to hide it.
I don't think so.
But everybody worries.
I don't worry that much. I try to discourage others from worrying.
Who?
Everybody. I worry about health-related stuff. That's what I worry about.
Well, yeah, you don't like that.
No, I hate it.
Well, you better get on the ball, because at some point you're going to be going through some of it.
I understand. We all do. Catches up to every one of us.
Well, you can take precautions, but only for so long.
Right.
Eventually... you'll be in a health crisis.
Could be. Thanks for letting me know. That's good stuff.
Well, I do let you know. I don't want you to worry about it. There'll be a day when you'll have a crisis. And you'll see if you come through it. That's all. That's all I'm trying to tell
you. I'd like to not have a health crisis.
Well, everybody has a health crisis.
Okay? They do?
Sure.
Do you think I've already had mine?
What?
Just anything. Like, has my worst health experience already happened?
Once you get to be 60, watch out for that decade. That's a tough one. And it's pretty clear sailing, at least for me, until about 60.
All right. Well, I got almost 20 years until that happens.
But you could make it easier on yourself.
I'm going to try.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to try.
Well, what are you going to do? What's the...
I always want to eat better, but it's nearly impossible, it seems like.
Unless
you have just the greatest force of will in the history of mankind.
It depends. At least you guys cook, so there's some hope there, I would think. I'm going to tell you what. I wish there was a... what's that salad place?
Leakers? I don't know.
No. Come on, think.
I don't know. I don't know the salad place.
The salad place. See, out in Mays, on Mays Road.
Hot Greens.
Yeah. I wish that was closer, because I like that
it's
place.
It's not that far. It's farther for me, and I would go there every day if
I like that place.
If money was no object, because I love their salads, but I can't afford to do that.
Well, I kind of can.
You can? It's $200 a month. I mean, maybe.
I mean, you know, would you spend more than that at the grocery store?
True. Spend more than that on the food we eat for dinner.
They have a salad with some barbecue chicken, and it's really, really good. And the way I'm talking right now, there's no way I can avoid going out there to get that.
You want to limit the salt intake as much as you possibly can.
I don't know how much salt they have in it.
I don't know how much salt is in their barbecue sauce.
I never pour salt on anything. I haven't used a salt shaker in 20 years.
That's because every food now is so salty that who needs it?
Well, some of that probably. But I've never, you know, I just don't use salt. At least extra salt.
I typically don't either.
I pour pepper on everything.
A lot of the recipes we use call for salt and pepper. But I try not to overdo it.
I'm out of pepper, so I got to get some.
Paper?
I love pepper. There's not a better seasoning in the world than pepper.
Well, if used in moderation,
nah,
sure.
You dump it on there.
I'd rather not.
It's good.
It's fine.
Adds a little zing to things.
A little, but you don't want to overdo it. I want the flavor to be in the food, not in the seasoning.
Ugh.
Does that make sense?
Sort of, but pepper used in the right way is outstanding.
I love seasoning, don't get me wrong, but I don't want it to overpower what I'm eating, or what's the point?
Well, I understand that. That's fine. Oh, by the way, the tortilla soup at Doc Green's is really good, too.
I'm probably have had it because I've had it. I love tortilla soup pretty much from anywhere.
I may be headed out there this evening.
Worst places to go. Guardians, by the way, are hitting Will Brennan cleanup tonight.
Don't care. No one.
That's the state of that organization. I don't care if anyone cares.
No one cares.
Don't care. I've got the microphone. And
no, I'm telling you turn off more people.
I can air my grievances if I want to.
You turn off more people.
I don't care.
Now no, I gotta.
And no, I don't.
Wow. I'd love to donate a guitar.
Who's that from?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Is it a guy who has guitars that are worth donating?
Wow. Good for him.
I thought we'd give that person notoriety, quote unquote.
Well, I do, but I don't know if he wants his name mentioned.
All right. By the way, notoriety is bad.
He's a coach in League 42 and has a recognizable name. So it's going to be up to him. And I appreciate him listening to this show.
Me too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You'll tell me off the air, I'm sure.
I may or may not.
You may or may not.
I'm very loyal to those who don't want their name out there.
Did he say he didn't want his name out there?
He hasn't said. He said, I'd love to donate a guitar. I started taking lessons myself last year at the age of...
You could tell us his age. That's not going to give anything away.
I don't want to risk anything.
There's no risk to an age.
And I admire this man. You remember when I, during the pandemic, borrowed a guitar?
Yeah, did nothing.
You know where it sat for most of that?
Right over on that wall over there.
Didn't do a thing with it. I actually had it down here, and I was trying for a little bit. But my fingers don't seem to work.
I think maybe a little bit longer is what you needed, not just a little bit.
Should have done that when I was 10. My parents, and I should have had you do something other than the violin.
No kidding.
But you didn't do well with the violin, and I said to myself at the time, there's no reason to give this guy any more opportunity.
I've always wanted a drummer.
I'm going to shut it down.
Drummer, and you should have got me into the drums. Now I'm 41 as a just average at best drummer. It's just sad.
Too bad. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Brian Green. He is the head baseball coach at Wichita State. Curious what the Shockers look like after the transfer portal. I can't keep up anymore, so Brian will give us some insight. That's next. Thanks for listening, everyone. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.